It's processing the recording, so
there it went. Okay, we're all set. Thank you so much, Nelly, for joining us tonight. I appreciate it. And absolutely, you can introduce yourself and tell us how wonderful you are, because I know you are.
Thank you.
For everybody else that doesn't know how wonderful Nelly is, she'll tell you, but she is one of our alumni from multiple programs, so definitely could speak about being a student and what happens afterwards. So take it away.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm Nelly Molyneux. I'm a double round bachelor's and master's alumni from Purdue University Global. So that's me. And here's my ethos. For those who remember your college composition class, ethos, basically why you can trust me or why to hear what I have to say today, right? So, well, right now I'm a senior technical writer at the Department of Veterans Affairs. And I am negotiating my first six-figure position as a program manager for the program called EHRM. And I'm getting hit with lots of offers on LinkedIn on a daily basis. So I don't think that's too bad for graduating after, 13 months since I graduated my bachelor's. I graduated from my master's about 2 months ago. So I think that's actually pretty cool, right? I came from not knowing anything of the field. I'm an IT person. For my master's, my concentration was information security and assurance. So I didn't know anything about the field before. And now I know a lot, at least enough to get through, to go by, right? So, I'm going to give you like 2 or 3 seconds just to read a little bit and put the joke together of this little slide here. And if you want to post in the chat, if you got the joke of it. But this is how I felt. I was like really scared at first when I first joined my program. It was just, oh my God, like, I don't know what to expect. I don't even know how I ended up choosing the IT field. And I'm pretty sure it's the same for several cybersecurity people and other IT people. I remember my first classes, team assignments, several classmates saying like, hey, like, I honestly don't know what to expect. I don't know what job I'm going to have. Like, I think I want to do this or that, but I don't really know exactly what to expect. And it was just so scary. It was, I remember asking people in the field, hey, you know, like, I'm studying information technology, and I, you know, like, tell me how it's going to be. And all I keep hearing was like, well, you know, like, you don't really need a degree. You actually need experience, and you need like all these certifications, this, blah, 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 certifications and experience. But honestly, you're just, you don't need the degree. No one really cares for the degree. I don't know if anyone has ever heard that. You don't need a degree. You need a experience or a certification, if you can relate to that. That's all I kept hearing. And that just started like bringing me down. Like, okay, well, I'm here. And am I wasting $2,500 every 10 weeks just because, like, for no reason? And it was pretty frustrating, pretty ugly. But then there was that one person. I just needed one single person. I kept asking questions, and there was one person telling me, well, this person, she was in the military, and whenever she got out of the military, she landed a job doing some cybersecurity stuff, and she doesn't have a degree. And she's doing really good. She has some certifications, and she's doing really good. And she told me, hey, no, don't, hold on 1 second. One day, whenever you have the experience that you don't have today, because that's going to come, it's going to happen eventually, you're going to have some experience, right? Whenever that happens, and you and I apply for a job, you're going to get that job. And whenever I try to get promoted and you try to get promoted, you're going to get the promotion because you have that degree. And I have a cap. I can only get so far. without my degree. And eventually, I will be forced to go back to school and work on my degree to be able to keep up with you. So right there, whenever I heard that, it was just like very comforting. And I was like, all right, so I am not focusing. I don't have the time right now to work and do school and focus on a certification. So I was like, let me just put everything down for this degree and do it with all, you know, like all my, all the efforts I have you know, like I tried really hard. I just want to make sure, am I sharing my screen? Yeah, yes, I am. Okay.
Yeah, you saw it. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so that happened at the beginning of my bachelor's. I was about to start, when I talked to this lady, I was about to start IT 117, I think it was, website development. And it was just the beginning. The first time I saw something that was not plain text, I wouldn't say coding because I think 99.9% of people here will say HTML is not coding, and I am one of them. So, but it was the first time where I had to work with something that wasn't plain text, right? And so I told myself, okay, I'm going to just, if I'm already here, I am going to do everything that the class is asking me to do, that the professor, the rubrics, the program is asking me to do, but I'm gonna do it even better. I'm gonna try to do it, you know, to give everything I can just to be able to, at the end of this class, because I don't know what I'm gonna do tomorrow. I don't know if I'm gonna be a web developer, or I don't know what I'm going to do. So I'm going to assume that this is the only part where I'm going to see some HTML and CSS content, and I am going to do it as good as I could. So at the beginning of the class, the professor said, like, hey, start gathering pictures, and this is what the class looks like. So I started taking photos of my meals. I asked my mom and my husband, hey, can I use your pictures for my website? It's going to be like a food, a restaurant, or a website. And I actually got the forms, and I made them sign the forms that they consent. They consented to be part of this project, and for me to use their photographs and all of that. So there I was. I remember researching the colors that will be attractive for food. To you know what I mean, like the whole coloring for food. And I learned that orange, yellow, red shades are better than other colors for food advertisements. So I did a really good job, I think. And I remember the professor, Kathy. I don't know if you guys have had Prof. Kathy. She gets to be very tough at times, and she knows that. And I remember she came back to me, and she told me that she wasn't going to grade my assignment because I was using these photos. So I told her, hey, look, they are my photos. I took the pictures, and here are the forms of the people in the website who gave the consent of me using the photos. And then she was like, oh, excellent. That's really good. Okay, you're good to go, and you get your A. Okay, good. Now, we know that I could have gotten that A with just the basics of the rubrics. Yes, that is true. But at the same time, if I had only done the minimum, I wouldn't have learned what I learned, right? So my point to that is, like, committing to more and giving everything you have in your classes will make a big, big difference at the end of your degree. And by the end, you're going to feel like you don't know anything, but you will realize that you know so much more than what you actually do, right? Or that what you actually think, sorry. So basically, if, and this is what I wanted to share, if I can, I think you can too. The key thing here is the first part. Let me just go back for a second. When I was doing the whole web development for that class, I really didn't know what to expect. There were so many things in the field like I remember I was in a programming concentration, and then I was like, you know what, like this programming is pretty awesome, but it's not really for me. This is not my thing. So I switched to a concentration for network administration, and I loved it. And it was like, okay, yeah, I'm a Cisco person, woohoo! And I realized I wasn't in the future, but I got to learn that too. And then I was all about Cisco and ACLs and all this stuff, and Wireshark, and it was just amazing. But then the time went, and when I went on my master's, when I was doing my master's, I started learning things related to more to information security, and I had that forensics class, and I was like, oh my God, this is for me. This is amazing. It's just amazing, right? So I'm not really sure if this is your case, but if it's your case to where you don't know exactly what it looks like at the end of your degree, if you're like wondering, hey, should I drop? Should I continue? Am I going to get a job? I don't have any experience, you know. I can tell you that you should keep going. You definitely should keep going, because it's going to change. It's going to come. It might not show there right now. We apply for 100 jobs. I apply for so many jobs, and I just get the denied letter, and we are going to move forward with another candidate, blah, blah, blah. And it's just crushing, right? But that's going to change. And I can tell you that's going to change. Now, it's not going to change just randomly. You know, there is so much you have to do for that to change. So the first thing that you have to do is find what you like. Now, you might think that you like penetration testing, but you don't know, like, have you done it? Do you know what the actual, it sounds so cool to be a hacker, like a white hacker. It's amazing, so cool, blah, blah. But have you done it? Do you know what it takes to do it? So start exploring what you like, so that way you can have an idea of what you will be doing, what the real job is, right? Ask your classmates. As we have the cybersecurity club, ask the people. There are so many people who are already in the field doing the job, and just take a little bit and ask, hey, mentor, what do you do and how do you do it, and do you like it, you know? And you'll hear a little bit of what the job is, right? So once you have found what you like, find job postings. Go on the requisition, and this is like a very key thing to get a job. Understand what, in this case, your customer is your employer. You're trying to sell yourself, right? So understand what the employer is asking you for, what they want. It's not about what you have to offer, but it's about what they want. So you have to have what they are looking for. If you don't, then they're going to move forward with another candidate, and that's going to happen, right? So you can make your resume look amazing, but if it doesn't have what the job poster wants, then you're not going to make it there. So you have to find the posting and then start working. Now that it's early in your degree, if it is, start working towards that specific type of job, the requirements of that job, right? And then learn everything. Make sure you don't have just the requirements and then like, okay, I have the requirements, so I'm just going to put the resume up. Learn everything. Make sure you prepare for that, you know, and stay on that path. That's very important. Just stay on that path. And then make sure your resume matches. That's what I was mentioning earlier. They want to see what they care for. They don't care if you have 20 years of experience being a dental assistant. They don't really care. So you can just scratch that off of your resume, right? They might care for the business side of it if you deal with the business environment. But being a dental assistant is not related to what you are going to be doing in this field if you are in the cybersecurity, which I assume you are right now. So you might want to just scratch what's not relevant for the position and ensure that you're putting what's relevant. So I have here one example. if the requisition that the job posting says A, B, and C, your resume is going to have A, B, and C. No lies. You're not going to lie. You're going to prepare for that because that's what you're here today. So if they want 3 years of experience with Java, then today start coding using Java every day for the next 3 years. And then you have the 3 years of experience because they don't really care that you worked at Google or that you worked with Apple and that you were an engineer for Facebook. They don't really care for the big names. They care for the moment you sit down and you are invited to show who you are, then make sure you have the 3 years of experience coding with Java, right? The next thing I want to go over is ask questions. There is something very important here, asking questions. I think if you come to the professors, if you see someone on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on whatever platform, you find someone who is in the field and who cares for what or who is doing something that you're interested in, ask questions. That helps you to make connections. And not just the connections, but the learnings that you get for asking questions. If you make those connections tomorrow, and even right now with our classmates, with our professors, who you are right now is not who you will be in 10 years from now. So if you make connections today, they are going to show up in the future, right? And stay trendy. And that means if right now AWS is what's trending and your employer or your future employer wants you to create a database, an isolated database, not VPC, and that one connected to a WordPress server and all this like infrastructure thing, then start practicing now. So that way, by the end of your degree, you have all this experience and you're trendy, right? So it was like something very short I wanted to share with everyone, but that was something that happened to me during my time with Purdue. I remember it was just a big fear I had. Am I going to make it? I don't know. I think that was a big question that several of my classmates and I had. We feared that we weren't going to get hired, that we weren't going to get a job. Because we didn't have all the years of experience. So if this is something that is happening to you, I just want you to know that it's normal. It's part of the steps of being in college. And I will say it's not just for this field, it's for all fields. So you're going to get a job. You are going to get a job. So you can be confident that you're in the right path as long as you don't drop it. Does anyone have any questions? I would like people to get on camera if you guys want to share some of your fears, experiences, or anything like that. You're more than welcome.
There's a couple questions in the chat. First, Joseph was asking about your Aretha Franklin reference.
Okay, maybe. Let me.
Back on your, I think it was your second slide. I think I got it, but I'll let you explain
yep.
it.
The first part, the song.
I may be disconnected just to let you know there's a major thunderstorm here in Alabama right now. So if I'm gone, I don't know if you hear the rain. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, one of our CSs.
One comment that I would make, I don't know if you can hear me because it's really, really loud outside.
Okay.
I'm not sure I agree with only apply if you are 100% fit. I'm not sure if I agree with that. I think, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I think if you have some of it, you don't have to match 100%. I think this is something where many women want to match 100% with job description. No one is ever going to match 100%. And I would... is someone talking?
Yeah, but I don't think to us. Yeah. Let's stop. Go ahead.
Most men are going to apply. If they fit 50%, they're going to apply. And you should apply if you are about 50%. The worst case scenario, I think it's Clem. I'm going to mute Clem. If you are 50% compliant, apply. Let them reject you, but be aware that it's going to probably take several hundred or several thousand applications before you are selected. You need to be very patient. You need to be very humble. You know, there's one student from Purdue that I wanted desperately to hire. And he's a new student. He doesn't have any, he has 25 years of experience. Unfortunately, zero on cyber. I had him remove everything that was not relevant, and he's presented as a brand new, pretty much, graduate. Unfortunately, to do what we're doing, you need work experience, which unfortunately is not going to get, and you need a clearance, which is not going to get like that. So, don't be afraid. Apply. But if you don't have the experience, look for internship. There's plenty of internships. You can go and work for a school district. You can go and assist a police department, a fire department. You can go and teach classes at a nursing home or whatever. You can easily get experience if you want. If you are committed, the problem is, are you committed enough? Are you willing to take the steps to get the experience you need? But it is very feasible. And my advice is, I'm going to disagree with you, Nelly, respectfully. Don't be afraid to apply and let them say no. The worst that they can say is no. I know it hurts. I can tell you, I've applied to jobs. I thought I was selected. And, I was crushed because I'm not selected. Applying for a job is extremely humiliating. It's extremely frustrating. But then, the moment, all it takes is one yes and you get the job. So, the thing is, don't be afraid of a rejection. And just accept that, maybe there is a reason. Maybe the environment is too tough. Maybe it's a wrong company. Maybe it's a wrong boss, whatever. Find whatever to accept pretty much the rejection. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, in fact, I don't think I disagree on that. No, absolutely. Start applying now because you at least get to practice. There's a question asking what's the one question that has stopped you on an interview? And before I address that question, I will say the interview itself tends to be intimidating at first. And doing what Dr. Bogart is saying is absolutely true. Start applying today. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and that this is, definitely your resume doesn't have to 100% match, but you still have to make it through the algorithm of the computer. And I definitely know many companies have the computer. You have to make it past the computer, right? So what I mean by that, I want to just clarify that part. Your resume has to have keywords, several keywords that are on the job posting. Because if not, then your resume is going to get stopped at the computer level. It's not going to make it to the HR desk. So it was more like as an example of how your resume should look. Because sometimes, and I've seen this several times when we're trying to hire someone, I noticed that a lot of people put things that are not too relevant to the position, and then they get automatically disqualified. And then whenever you go back and you actually do like the human part and you start reviewing the resumes, you say like, okay, well, this person actually seems to have the experience or the knowledge or have a good hint of what we need here. But the way the resume was worded made this person disqualified for the position because the computer thought this is not what we're looking for, right? So rather than just go on and match, because yes, as you say, it is impossible for a person to 100% match, or almost impossible unless you have been doing the same thing and applying for the same type of jobs for forever. you know, but you can definitely tailor your resume. That's a key thing, tailoring your resume for the position that you're applying. Whether you're applying today at the end of your degree, I will say the way Dr. Bouchard is saying it, apply now, because you, the worst thing that can happen, the way he said it, is they say no, right? But at least you got the practice. So you can look at it as practice. Now, there is one question. I want to go back to the questions here. And a book, I actually have it right here because I was doing some studying. So this is part of probably several of you's program, and I think Dr. Bouchard is not going to let me lie on this one. It's definitely a book, really sick book, you know, but it's definitely a book that I recommend. It's, you're going to get it if you, I'm not really sure which class is the one that offers that. Dr. Burton will be able to say, or Dr. Bouchard actually can say which class you get the CISSP book, but it's definitely a really good book to use for bedtime and to just, you know, if you're not committed to get your CISSP yet, maybe because you don't have the experience required for it, it's definitely a good bedtime book to go over. I'm really liking it. I'm not finished reading it, but I'm really liking it. Let's see, the next question. A question that has stopped me for or on an interview. Okay, here's, it's pretty embarrassing. And it was the first one that I, as soon as I finished the call, I understood what the call was finished and how I lost the opportunity to get the job. And it was something like, if you can connect, I think it was, I don't remember exactly the question, but it was related to a virtual computer that couldn't connect to the domain. They couldn't like have it connected to the domain. So it was like something very simple, a very simple answer. Right there, I was so nervous, and I was like I had like that need for doing it right, but I completely messed it up. And I knew it. I was like, okay, well, if they don't call me, I know exactly why they are not calling me, you know, because I just didn't know how to answer this question right there. So that happened. That was the first time, and then I think it continued to happen. I have had so many interviews throughout my bachelor's. I remember I had so many interviews, and I think I ruined probably 100% of them, you know. So another thing that Dr. Bouchard mentioned was internships, and that's how I got my way in. Towards the end of my bachelor's, I chose not to do the capstone. I chose to do an externship. So I found extras, I'm lying, that was for my master's, at the end of my master's, towards the end of my master's, I applied for an externship, and then once I was there, I was like, okay, I'm here, and then I'm not leaving, and I told my boss, my internship boss, I told him, like, hey, I'm here, and I'm not leaving, just so you know, find me a job, with all my respect, I'm staying. And I guess I just pushed so hard, just saying, like, hey, tell me. Something I remember once a while ago, someone told me, if your boss wants you to be the first one getting there and the last one to leave the office, then you're going to be that. And if your boss wants you to be the one who works harder, do what others don't do to have more than others. And that just got stuck in my head. And I've been, that's how I did it through my internship. And then I got the job as a technical writer. I've been in the position as a technical writer for about 6 months, and now we are negotiating a big role, right? And it all happened too fast. But it was just that, just giving a little bit extra. You know, you don't have to be super special and have all these. It's only giving a little bit extra, and that's a.
You need to get noticed somewhere and to get slightly different than the others.
Exactly.
So one way is to cultivate LinkedIn. LinkedIn is something that I keep telling students in my class to cultivate, because it's not at the time you want a job that you do LinkedIn. LinkedIn is something that you prepare 2 to 4 years before you're going to get a job. You need to start putting in stuff, write papers, try to find people, you know, to connect, get recommendations, try to build your profile. And then, you know, potentially once you have a decent profile on LinkedIn, as you mentioned, Nelly, you get contacted for jobs.
Oh, yeah.
So you need, you, one thing that students need to be aware of is cultivate your LinkedIn, put in the right material, be careful. Presentation is something important. I see a bunch of people who put pictures on LinkedIn with families or dogs or something like that. You know, do you want to, would you hire someone that puts a picture of a dog on a profile on LinkedIn? I mean, personally, I would not. I would just want to see the person, not, you know, person of the kids and the family and stuff. It's not relevant to a job. It's, LinkedIn is not Facebook. And it's something that I think many people don't understand, is that LinkedIn and Facebook are different things. So I don't know what you think about that. Nelly, what do you think about what I just said?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Your LinkedIn, it takes years to grow your LinkedIn. It's not something that you just get there and you just put everything, all the recommendations, all the endorsements, putting years of experience, putting education, putting certifications. Your LinkedIn is your resume, basically. So it takes so many years of building it to just destroy it by talking about politics or some sort of things that are not, you know, for a professional environment, very well seen, unless you're a politician, you know. So, yeah, definitely your LinkedIn is your cover page. So you have to be very, very careful on that one. And I will say I applied on LinkedIn for so many jobs before I graduated, and I got zero. And now I testing just to see what's out there. I submitted about 5 applications. The 5 applications were viewed, and the 5 of them called me. So I will say definitely I had the opportunity during my internship. I had the opportunity of getting the idea of the algorithm of resumes and how what the HR is looking for and how it's worked out. So believe me, it counts so much that you understand what you're trying to do, and then you work towards that. And work towards that, I don't mean just, you know, like just with school or just your degree. I mean like certifications, experience, and your education all together. But don't get discouraged. It's just right now, so things saying that you don't need a degree and you're gonna become a YouTuber and you're gonna be rich being a YouTuber, and or be a web developer and you're gonna become famous with your website. You might be the lucky one, you know, but realistically, you will need your degree to be able to get your job. You will need, if not the degree, like this big list of certifications or experience or something that, the way Dr. Bogart mentions, makes you special. So focus on that, being special, right? And you will definitely get the job that you're looking for. It's there for you. It's there for you. But and I'm gonna tell you something, and it's just incredible how employers are struggling to get employees, you know.
Typically,
it's crazy.
If I'm
like, well, I'm here, hello, I'm here, I want a job, and then the employer is here like, hello, I have a job, come apply. But then at the end it's like, but I want you to be an entry level and have 5 years of experience, a degree, and all these certifications.
Degree is, depending on the place, there are jobs that require degrees. But typically, a degree is going to increase your salary. In many cases, it's not required. Like, we hire in my company a number of people that have certifications but no degrees. The main difference with people who have degrees is they're going to make $20,000 to $50,000 more than the ones that don't have degrees. So degrees is important for that. But again, it's all specific on what you do. There are jobs where they want a degree. I've seen jobs where, you know, if you don't have a master's degree, don't even apply. Darwin asked a question in terms of security clearance. I think you misread me. There are certain places, certain companies that will not sponsor anyone for clearances. There are companies that will sponsor people with no clearances. I don't know, Dr. Burton, if you know if Mantech hires people with no clearances. This is something probably that you would want to ask Mantech, because like I know there's one student, he has all of the right certs. He has a CCNA, a Security Plus, a CISSP. He doesn't have work experience, but you know, he would be a wonderful new hire. And he's former military. He should be able to, you know, do something. So this is a question for you.
Yeah, and I know Mantech doesn't require a clearance for every job, but certainly a lot of the jobs, because just because of the locations where they have to put people, it's highly restricted.
And as Darwin says, you know, it applies to some jobs, even if you don't fit in. Let me tell you a little story. I applied for a job as a manager of engineering. To be honest, I had never done engineering, true engineering. I was responsible for a bunch of radars and a bunch of radios, I had never done that. And I got the job, and actually I worked on the job for a while. Don't always, you know, things, sometimes it's a matter of trying and accepting rejection. Darwin said something that was interesting. Practice your interviewing. I actually applied for the job, don't laugh, but I applied to the job to practice interview. I kind of hope that they would ask me questions. And I got the job, okay? So don't be humble, accept that you're gonna be rejected again and again, and you know, hopefully things work out for the best for you. This is my opinion, I'm sorry. Slightly different than yours, but
I think they're very similar. They're just from a different perspective, but at the end they got to the same point, because I think I will have made it with applying for jobs from the beginning. I did. So that's, you know, to the side, absolutely. Apply for jobs from the beginning. The way you said it, the worst thing that can happen is that they just send you the letter that they moved forward with a different candidate. That's it, right? But at least that's teaching you to understand that maybe you needed X and Y thing, and without that X and Y thing, you might not be able to get that job if you're still pursuing that job. So you might have to work, you know, on something else. And in a better case, you get the opportunity to interview with them and to practice an interview, even if they don't hire you. In a perfect world, they'll hire you. And you never know, that could happen, you know? So absolutely, I don't think we're just looking at it from a different perspective, but at the end it meets the same point. That's how I see it. I do think that many of us, there are so many people that are here right now who are in the field already, who came from having experience needing a degree, and now they're here, you know, to better their careers and move and being able to grow. For those like me who came here, oh, what's the best paid job right now? What's trending? Cybersecurity, information technology. All right, let's join that degree. And then you're there and you had no idea what it was. And you thought it was all, I don't know, like coding was just multiplications or something like that, you know, just that. And I remember my mom was like, well, that's all those letters. There looks like a lot of math. And I'm like, man, that's not math. That's a website. No, you know, you didn't even know what to expect, right? So for those who have that, you know, fear, it's going to be okay. That's something I can tell you. It's going to be okay. Go mess up the interviews. Continue to apply so you can mess up those interviews. You need that part. And it's normal that you get denied. It's normal that you get the letter of we're moving forward with a different candidate. It sucks. It's crushing. It brings your morale down. I know that. It was just like, I'm like, okay, this one looks like the one, and I am sure they're going to call me, and I am sure they are going to, you know, we have decided to move forward with it. Really? Seriously? And it's crushing, you know? But it's part of it. It's part of it, and it's going to go away. It's going to go away. Definitely work. No, go ahead.
I was just saying, yeah, if it just makes you stronger every time you hear a no, then, you know, that builds your strength.
Humility is key.
Derek had a question. I think Derek had his hand up for a while now. I don't know.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Hi, Derek.
Okay. So, I mean, just to add on for the jobs, I had a position that I applied for was system admin, and I know it took a while, and they found another candidate, but actually, I wasn't really bummed out by it because it actually gave me the experience to see a real-world job on questions of how it actually, what kind of questions they're really asking, and things that you have to watch out for. And also, another good thing that was, was that even if you didn't know something, you know, you always, one thing that was, I found a key note was you always told them, like, I'll figure it out. You know, they don't want to hear, I don't know. They like to hear, I'll figure it out, because they know, like, okay, this guy is going to, you know, he's going to go ahead and he's going to find the problem and he's going to keep going. They want somebody that's really going in. And even if they don't figure it out, they can see somebody that cares for and has, see the passion that, hey, we'll see what's going on. Let's figure this out. And that to me, like, those real world, has helped a lot with building my resume and what to expect in future interviews.
Absolutely. Actually, I'm not really sure if Ellen's here, but I remember she said something that also got stuck in my head, and it was the imposter syndrome. She has mentioned that several times, and oh my God, that works out a lot. That really works out a lot. Just you start saying you are something you want to be, and you end up becoming that something, right? So today, I think after so many interviews and so many tryings, I think I finally get to dominate the interview, right? And it's just by messing it up so many times. But absolutely, what Derek is saying, it's like a big thing, you know. Like, you know what? Show them that you are someone they can trust, someone who's not gonna leave in the middle of the day and just quit, and you know, someone reliable, someone they can really, really rely on. That's a very important thing. And something I have noticed too on these requisitions that you see, or these job postings that you see, 5 years of experience and all these certifications and blah, blah, blah. I have noticed that companies hire people who come saying they have all this, that they meet all the requirements. And then when they come in, they have no clue what's happening. And I have seen people that I'm like, man, you bring any of my classmates to teach you. You person who says you have 10 years of experience, I know any of my classmates can come here and just like do it better than you. So sometimes people just lie their ways in, you know, and you're not, because you're here right now. You're actually in college. You decided to big step and work on your education, right? You're actually doing it. So sometimes these employers just ask for so much to, at the end, at least have a tiny little bit. So don't get too intimidated for those 5 years of experience, 3 years of experience. They want 3 years of experience. Start learning it today, you know? Start today.
The worst they can say is no. Apply.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. And
Darwin asked a question about money. Let me give you my thoughts about money. I was in one case where, you know, I had left a job voluntarily, and I took the job because I didn't have a job. Okay, I was in another. This happened once. I was another case where I had applied 8 months before. They contacted me on month 8. There was one interview during the meeting. They said, okay, we want to hire you. We're offering you X. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to take it. They hang up. 15 minutes later, there was a phone call, and they offered me what I wanted. So it all depends on your circumstances. If you have no job, no clearance, no nothing, you take what you're given to get the experience. If you have a job and you're happy in your job, then yes, you can, you know, be greedy and ask for a lot. And, you know, if you get it, good. If you don't get it, too bad. So, Darwin, the answer to your question is, it depends on your circumstances. If you can afford, ask for it. If you can't afford it, don't take the chance, unless you're a gambler. I think Lori has asked a question. Lori?
Well, actually, I was just going to let you know that I understand where all of you are coming from. I'm older than most of the people that are here, which makes me laugh. So I have job experience coming out all over. But I, at the moment, maintain 8 different jobs just to pay my bills. So I understand when you're saying you've got all these qualifications and they're not hiring you and you get discouraged and stuff. I got tired of that. I live in rural Wyoming. And here in Wyoming, if you're a female of any kind, doesn't matter, just a female in general, they still treat you as if you do not exist unless you're having babies or working as a teacher. That's the only jobs you can get a decent position in if you're a woman here. And so I work as a substitute teacher for K through 12. I work in the nursery at church. I work in the after school program, and I own 5 businesses just so that I can make ends meet. I clean carpets. I do catering. I make handmade jewelry. I do all kinds of stuff. So when I hear people say that they're having a tough time, they can't find a job, they can't get it, they don't know what to do, make your own. If you have to, reach down deep and just say, I'm done. I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to make my own. Create your own. I even have a used clothing business that I sell clothes online. Anybody can do that anywhere. So don't let them discourage you. I've never let them. I am in my 50s, almost my 60s, and I happen to be able to stand proud and tell people, I work because that's what I want to do, and I will pay my bills. And in the past, I guess about the past 10 years, I've gone from almost $60,000 worth of debt in just credit cards down to 12,000 and something by doing that. So don't let them stop you. Don't let them stop you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Go ahead.
Just a great advice. Absolutely great advice.
Yes, yes. Thank you for sharing. And here you are. You'll continue finish your degree, and I am pretty sure that big things are waiting for you and for everyone else who is here. Who is here? The fact that you're here makes the difference between those who are not. And there are so many out there who are not. And there was a big thing that I was told by a faculty member from Purdue University Global. And I was like, you know what? Something I realized, that was like towards the end of my master's. Like, something I realized is like all these people who are saying you don't need a degree and all you need is experience are people who don't have a degree. I don't really hear people with degrees saying, hey, you don't need a degree, you know? So you're here today, you're here for a reason, and whenever you feel like you can't take it anymore, whenever you get that B, whenever you get like, oh my God, I have that assignment and it's due on Tuesday night or Sunday night and I don't want to do it. And whenever that's happening, just remember you're here. Other people are not, but you are. And that's what makes the difference. And that's what will make the difference. And that's what your paycheck will show in the future. So once you break the employment part, that little part, whenever you crack that little employed part, then from there, you will get offers, you will get promotions, and there's no stopping you. There is absolutely not like stopping you. There's so much here for you. It's like a big cake and everyone is invited to the party and it's there. So don't fear, don't think it's not gonna come. It will come. There is that time. The only difference between you and me is that I started a little bit earlier than you, or maybe I just had the opportunity that move a little bit faster than you, maybe. But that's it. There is no difference between you and me. There is no difference between Dr. Burton and you. There is no difference between Dr. Picard and you. You know. So it's just time. It just happens to be there a little bit sooner than you, but. You can get there too. You're working towards getting there. Maybe not to the exact same thing. Maybe you're not trying to be the CISSP professor, right? But whatever you're trying to do, you will get there. That is going to happen. So don't let that fear make you think that you're not going to get the job or that you're not good enough, because you're even better than what you think. So whatever you think, if you think, oh, I don't know anything, that's not true. That's not true. And the last thing I want to just mention before we go more questions is the NCL will, if you commit to the NCL, to the National Cyber League, will definitely change your life completely. If you don't know anything about the cyber, if you're new to cybersecurity or IT, I don't know if there's any IT person here, but if you're new to IT or cybersecurity, the National Cyber League is going to change the way you look at things, just because it's going to give you a very good introduction of what it is going to look like for you in the future. For all you know, you who knows, you might even want to be a doctor instead of being a cyber. So at least you get to find out not to waste your time. So absolutely join the NCL. I think it will be for next for the fall season, something like that, in October, I believe. But definitely recommended. Start preparing for that. And unless anyone has any questions, that's all I got. Oh, there's a question.
Can I mention something, Nelly?
Sure.
One thing that I will say also is be careful with anything that is controversial on your resume. I had someone that I helped with his resume to get a job because the person was unemployed. And the person had a lot of political and non-political activities. And the problem is when you put something like that, you have a chance to annoy 50% of the population, more or less, give or take. So my advice is to be very careful on your resume to put nothing that is somehow controversial where you're going to upset someone. Also, be sure to remember that the first thing people are going to do is look on Instagram, on Facebook, on Pinterest, I mean, you know, the main website. They're going to go and look for your email address, for your name, and they're going to try to see what kind of person you are. And, you know, I tried to help someone else, and I asked the person permission to do it with the person. You know, I was showing the person, you know, this is what is out there. This is what I would look at if I was recruiting you. And the person... Instagram showed pictures as a minor drinking beer. Now, you may think it's okay, you know, let's not talk about, you know, what you think, but there is a chance that a percentage of the population are gonna automatically decline the person for the job because of a silly picture. So remember, anything that is controversial, be sure that you're ready to potentially lose a job over something like that. Okay?
Yeah.
So if you are very adamant that, you know, you want to convey it because this is who you are, do it. Otherwise, be careful.
Yeah, just try very, very careful to keep that to yourself. Sometimes we have that urge to share our minds on social media, but unless it's something, you know, to show your success on whatever accomplishment you had, I will say keep it to yourself, because it might not be as exciting for other people to read it as it is for you. There is a question actually here, working in the field, what do you see that your coworkers lack? That's actually a very interesting question, and you're going to laugh a little bit. But let's say you already made it past the resume point to where they asked you for X and Y thing, and you actually got hired. The people, coworkers are not necessarily people I work with directly, but I have seen. It's writing, English. That's it's pretty funny, but all those people who can't write are not moving forward. And that was I'm talking about engineers. I'm talking about, you know, like developers, and all our many of the technical people that the company or several companies we work with, actually Mantech is one of them, have or don't have is the capability of writing a good email. That simple. So it sounds dumb. It sounds
It doesn't. You're so right. They misspell words, or if they're actually asked to handwrite something, most of them cannot even write cursive or legibly so that someone can actually read it.
And you know why this affects? Because at the end, the big boss knows how to write, and she can actually identify whether you do know or not, and she might not want you in a higher position just because you can't communicate the way society wants you to. So it's pretty funny, but we do have conversations about it. Like, hey, hold on, this person, don't let that person talk to this customer. Let's not hold on. We need make sure we review the email that are going in and out with the customer communication. You know, and for us, we're contractors. So for us, our customer is the VA, the Department of Veterans Affairs. So they are our customer, and sometimes we just have the engineers, we have to stop them from talking to the stakeholder because of that little constraint of English communication. So I will say it's funny, but that's a very big one. Dumb, I know dumb, but it's a big topic in the field. So just besides your certifications and all the training you're getting and all the schooling you're doing, that APA thing that I used to, I remember Dr. Burton is not going to let me lie. I used to complain about the discussion boards, and I used to complain about all the writing that we had to do that was just terrible. I remember, and she can tell you, but it pays off. All that, all the annoying writing that we do pays off in the future. You'll make the difference. For sure. So, hope that answers the question. I don't know if there's any more questions. I think we are at the end.
Thank you so much. That was awesome, Nelly. I think great advice, great experience. Everybody who may be in their first couple of terms, now you've heard from someone who's been through it all and came out on the other end with plenty of success.
Yeah, go for the doctorate. I'll meet you there soon.
Pretty awesome. It you too all will graduate one day. I have confidence in that. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Nelly. I appreciate your time tonight, and thank you to all the faculty and the students that were able to join us tonight. Appreciate it. This was recorded, so there will be a recording that gets posted to the invite, but I'm also going to give it to our team to make it into a podcast. And I appreciate everyone's time this evening. Have a wonderful evening. Bye, guys. See ya.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.